ذلك الإمام ابن القيم رحمة الله عليه في باب المعاد في الجزء الذي خصصه الطب النبوي ورد على الذين ينكرون العين وعلى حقيقة العين. لكن الذي نريد أن نذكره أيضا هنا أن العين تقسم إلى قسمين، عين جنسية وعين جنية. وأما العين الجنسية فالأدلة عليها كثيرة، وأما العين الجنية فقد ثبت عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه رأى جارية وفي وجهها سفعة، أي احمرار في وجهها، فقال للنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: سرقوا لها فإن بها نظرة. أي نظرة من الجن، كما قال علماء الحديث وأئمة اللغة قال أنها عين جنية. ولذلك يقول بعض أهل العلم: عيون الجن أنفذ من أكنة العين.
And the Sheikh went on to say that all the Muslims have agreed that indeed the evil eye is something of reality. And this is mentioned by Mukam Jawzi in Zad al-Mu'ad in the volume which deals with the Tib al-Nabwi. And there he gives a refutation against those who reject it. And then he mentioned that the evil eye is of two kinds. There is the evil eye of mankind and that of jinn. As for the evil eye of mankind, then he said there are many, many evidences to prove it. As for the evil eye of jinn, then the hadith of Prophet ﷺ, where he saw a girl, a slave girl, and her face was red, and it seemed, and it meant red, meaning that it was hot. And he said that read over her, for indeed she has a jinn, indeed she has evil eye amongst her. And then he went on to explain that this evil eye inside her was the jinn.
And the scholar says that the evil eye, the jinn evil eye, is more, much more stronger than the point of the
it's more fiercer, stronger, or faster than a bow that leaves the arrow that leaves the bow.
Or something of that nature.
Fear. طفلا يبكي فقال صلى الله عليه وسلم: سرقوا له من العين. لذلك إذا لم يعلم سبب بكاء الطفل فإنها عين، وعندئذ يلزم أن تطلب له الرقية من أجل علاج العين. ومنها أن يصاب بالمرض كما حدث مع سعد بن حنيف عندما اغتسل فرآه أحد أصحابه فقالوا: ما رأيته مثل جلد عمراء، وكان جلده أبيض، فلم يستطع أن ينهض من مكانه. فعندما أخبر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم دله على العلاج الذي نذكره، وهو اغتسال العائن ثم أخذ المعين منه إن شاء الله. وهناك زوال النعمة أيضا وزوال الخير عن المعين، فهذا كما قال الله تبارك وتعالى: لولا إذ دخلت جنتك قلت ما شاء الله. فينبغي على الإنسان أن يعلم أن للعين حقيقة وأنها تؤثر كما يؤثر السحر، ولكن بإذن الله تبارك وتعالى.
And the Sheikh went on to say that the evil eye, if it is done and it takes effect, then it causes sicknesses, and it may cause a woman to prevent her from having children, and it could cause many harms. Also, he mentioned the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he heard a baby crying, he said to read on him, to read on the baby. So to read on the individual who has the aim is a cure for him.
So the Sheikh said as well that if the reason behind the child being crying all the time, and you don't have a specific reason, I mean if it's a materialist reason, then you should really make ruqya on him, you should read on him, And he mentioned the hadith of the Prophet when the companion was called Sa'd ibn Hanif, when he had been seen by a companion and getting out and he was showing his body, so another companion said, what a nice skin that looks like a lady who's really a virgin lady, so white. So that saying from the companion without saying mashallah brought that person down, and he was really on the floor shaking, almost dying. So the companions whispered and went to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they asked him, oh Prophet, this happened, and he said to them, who do you accuse? It's like a criminal act that it happened. Who do you accuse? They said, we accuse this Lubayt, Amr bin Rabi'a, the one who really said, what a nice kill. So he said, how can a person kill another person? Shouldn't he say, MashaAllah, la quwwata illa billah? And then he mentioned a way to cure this. And the curing, the Shaykh said, we will inshallah explain it later on, which is to make him wash and then take the water and put it on that person who's been set upon, and inshallah the Shaykh will explain later on.
And just mention also, Brian O'Brien, that about in some soft ways that if you entered your garden, if only you said, MashaAllah, meaning that his garden was destroyed because he didn't say his words, MashaAllah.
والذي ورد في السنة يمكن أن نقسمه إلى قسمين: علاج وقائي قبل وقوع العين، وعلاج بعد وقوع العين. أما العلاج الوقائي قبل وقوع العين فهو الكتمان، إذا كان الإنسان عنده نعمة أو عنده خير فيكتم ولا يظهره، بقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: استعينوا على قضاء حوائجكم بالكتمان. ففي هناك زيادة في الحديث لكنها لا تصح، لكن معناها صحيح: فإن كل ذي نعمة محسن. الأمر الثاني هو التعود من العين، فقد كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يتعود من الجان ومن عين الإنسان، كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يتعود من الجان ويتعود من عين الإنسان. الأمر الثالث هو إذا رأى الإنسان شيئا أعجبه لأخيه فعليه أن يدعو له بالبركة، وإلا كان حافدا آثما مذموما عند الله تبارك وتعالى. لذلك قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: جعل العين قدر كالقدر، فقال: علام يقتل أحدكم أخاه. لذلك فإذا رأى أحدكم شيئا يعجبه من أخيه فليدعو له بالبركة، وليقل ما شاء الله لا قوة إلا بالله، لأن العين حق كما قلنا وهي تنزل رجل القبر والجمل القدر. فهذه أمور ثبتت في سنة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم تتقى بها العين قبل وقوعها.
So what is left now, Ikhwan, is the cure for the evil eye. And he said it's cure for the evil eye two times. That when before it happens, before the evil eye actually happens, and that when after it happens. As for before it happens, then to protect oneself from the evil eye is al-kitman, which is hiding or keeping away the blessings and not making them apparent. For example, if you had something good and something nice, then hiding it from the general public, general people, and this is established by the saying of the Prophet ﷺ, seek refuge in seek aid in protecting your needs that you have by kitman, by
seek aid in achieving what you are want to achieve by making it as secret as possible. And then he said, narrated in the Da'if hadith after that, the Prophet said, which is not sahih authentic, that each person who's got a blessing, he will be having the possibility of having an evil eye.
And also to seek refuge from the evil eye is also a cure for protecting oneself from the evil eye, as the Prophet ﷺ did this, he took refuge from jinn and evil eye. And the third one is if you see something nice or something that you feel nice that a brother has or somebody has, that you say, MashaAllah, la quwwata illa billah. Rather, you make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that goodness that he has with him to prevent it from being lost via the eye. Because if you didn't do that, then you would be sinful.
أما العلاج الذي يكون بعد وقوع العين فقد ورد في السنة النبوية في أمران. الأمر الأول إذا علم العين، الأمر الثاني إذا لم يعلم العين. أما الأمر الأول الذي إذا علم العين فإنه يؤمر بالوضوء أو الاغتسال ثم يعني يوضع على المعين فيذهب ما به إن شاء الله، لثبوت ذلك عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من حديث سالم الحنيف الذي سبق ذكره عندما أصابته العين من صاحبه، فأمر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم عامر بن ربيعة أن يغتسل أو يتوضأ، ثم اغتسل منه سهل بن حنيف فكأنما نفط من عقاب. وقد أمر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم العائل إذا أمر بالاغتسال أن يستجيب لهذا الأمر، فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم العين حق وإذا اغتسلتم فاغتسلوا، أي إذا أمرتم بالاغتسال فعليه أن يفعل ذلك. ويقول بعض المجردين أن أخذ أثر من العائن ووضعه في نطيع ماء ثم رسمه على المعين فإنه يجزئ والله أعلم. الأمر الثاني إذا لم يعلم العائن فعند ذلك لا يوجد إلا الرقية الشرعية وهي قراءة القرآن على المعين، والله أعلى وأعلم وأعز وأعلم.
As for when the evil eye has taken place, after it has taken place, to kill oneself from this then there are many, this is established in the Sunnah, but it's broken into two categories. If one knows that he has been affected with the evil eye, and when one does not know that he's been affected by the evil eye, but it actually has taken place. So if one knows that he's been affected with the evil eye, then upon him is ghusl and wudu. When he knows he's at the evil eye, he knows the person of the evil eye upon him, he knows the whole situation. So he's, and upon him is to make wudu and ghusl, and then give that water which he made ghusl and wudu with to the other person, the one who was affected by the evil eye, and then he was to make it with that water. And this is established in the hadith which was actually mentioned earlier on. Sahal ibn Hanif with Amr ibn Rabi'ah. This is what they actually done. And
just to make it more clear for the brothers here, that if the person knows who set the evil eye on that person, he knows that the person who said so and so, oh, and you mention MashaAllah, la quwwata illa billah, and then you should ask him to make wudu and to make iqtisal, and the water that comes out from that, you should put it on himself. Then inshallah it will be okay. Like when we said in the hadith of Amr ibn Rabi'ah and Sa'd ibn Hanif, when Amr ibn Rabi'ah said, oh, what a nice skin. It's not similar to the skin of the woman. And he didn't say, MashaAllah, la quwwata illa billah, and Sa'd ibn Hanif almost died. So the Sa'd ibn Hanif, as the Prophet asked Amr ibn Rabi'ah to make a wash, to make wudu, and even as well, he mentioned the hadith, Shaykh Madakila Tayyidari, and as well to wash the private part of himself, the private part. Inside and put that in a cup or in a bucket or something, and then put that on the person who is really affected by the evil eye. And then he went on saying that the ulama, they said even if you can't maintain a wudu, in fact you can't maintain a wash of that person, because maybe it's embarrassing to ask him to do so, then you could have a private thing, a private materialist thing, like his clothes, like his underwear, and wash it and put it in a bucket, and then put that bucket on top of you, and then inshallah you'll be cured by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the second one?
The second one was when if you don't know who if you don't know about the evil eye, who's done it upon you, you don't have the information. And for this a person, then there is nothing for him except the ruqya that is legislated from the sharia, which is the recitation of the Holy Quran over him.
جزا الله خيرا أبا أسامة خيرا حيث أزال الوفاة. وهناك بعض الإضافات أقولها إن شاء الله تكميما للموضوع، وهي حقيقة العين. فقد اختلف العلماء في حقيقة العين، ما هي العين؟ فمن قائل أن النفس حينما نفس العائل حينما تتكيف بكيفية خبيثة، فإن الله عز وجل يخلق شرا يؤدي إلى بقدره الكوني، يؤدي إلى إصابة المعين بالأذى حينما لا يذكر اسم الله عز وجل هذا العائن، لأن ذكر اسم الله عز وجل يدفع هذه الكيفية الخبيثة الشيطانية. ومن قائل إن النفس حينما تتكيف بنفسية خبيثة فإن الشيطان حينئذ يظهر ويكون عونا لهذا العائن على ذاك المعين. ومن قائل أنه لا يبعد أن تنبعث من عين العائن جواهر لطيفة أشعة، يسمونها جواهر لطيفة أشعة غير مرئية، تؤذي المعين وربما قتلته وربما ألحقت به الأذى. وذكروا لذلك حديث اقتلوا الأبتر وذو الصفيتين، نوعان من الأفاعي يلتمسان، وقد بين النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام أنهما يلتمسان البصر ويسقطان الحبل، يلتمسان أو يطمسان، يطمسان البصر ويسقطان الحبل، يعني هذان النوعان من الأفاعي إذا نظر إلى الشخص إلى الإنسان طمس والعياذ بالله أطفأ نور عينيه، وإذا نظر إلى المرأة الحامل أجذبت وأسقطت جنينها. وهذا أمر لا يدرك إلا بالوحي، لأن هذا إخبار من الرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام، وهذا وهذان النوعان من الأفاعي فيهما هذه الخاصية. فلذلك قال العلماء إن العائن كحال حاله كحال هذين النوعين من الأفاعي، حينما تتكيف نفسه بكيفية خبيثة وربما ينبعث من عينيه ما يؤذي به المعين. وقد ذكر بعض العائنين أنهم حينما تتكيف نفسيتهم بهذه الكيفية يشعرون بحرارة، بحرارة تخرج من عيونهم. أين؟ فلذلك وقد لا يكون العائن خبيث النفس كما جرى لعامر بن ربيعة، فإن عامر بن ربيعة صحابي جليل، ولكنه أعجبته صورة سهل بن حنيف، جلد سهل بن حنيف، حيث أن سهل بن حنيف كان أبيض البشرة وكان والبياض في جزيرة العرب قليل، فلما نظر إليه قال ما رأيتك اليوم ولا جلد مخبى، فأنه قال ما هذا البياض الذي عليك يا عامر يا سهل، إنه أشد بياضا من العذراء في خدرها، فلبط سهل كما جاء في الرواية، لبط سهل يعني طرع وسقط في مستحمه. فالصحابة رضي الله عنهم أسرعوا إلى الرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام قالوا أدرك سهلا فقد لبط، قال من تتهمون؟ قالوا عامر بن ربيعة مر به فقال كذا وكذا، فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم على ما يقتل أحدكم أخاه إذا رأى أحدكم من أخيه ما يعجبه فليدعو بالبركة، وأمره أن يغتسل له، يعني يأخذ ماء فيغسل مغابنه وموضع معقد الإزار ودخلة الإزار ويتوضأ، فألقي عليه فكأنما نشط المعقاد، كما تفضل أخونا الشيخ كريم حفظه الله. الأمر الآخر أيها الإخوة أن الإنسان قد يحسد نفسه، قد يصيب نفسه بالعين، قد يصيب أبناءه، ولذلك ينبغي للإنسان أن يذكر اسم الله عز وجل على كل نعمة وعلى كل خير، سواء كانت هذه النعمة متعلقة به، متعلقة بأبنائه، بأهل بيته، بأصحابه، بالآخرين، أن يبرك وأن يدعو بالبركة، بسم الله ما شاء الله لا قوة إلا بالله. كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يضع يده على الحسن والحسين يقول أعيذكما بكلمات الله التامة من كل شيطان وهامة ومن كل عين لامة، وكان يقول اللهم أذهب عنه حرها ووصبها، اللهم بارك فيه ولا تؤذيه، اللهم بارك عليه ولا تضره،
اللهم
عن الطفل او من يصيب.
You said Muhammad Musa Nasr, you said there are some, just a bit of addition after my Baba Sheikh Salim Hilali. He said the ulama, the scholars, they had different opinions upon the reality of the eye, of the evil eye. What is the evil eye? What is the eye itself? Some of the scholars said when a person is having an evil eye and within the process itself, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will create a special action. That because he didn't mention Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala name, he didn't say Bismillah, because Allah's name pushes all evil things. So when he, within the process of that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates something which afflicts the person who set the evil eye on. The second opinion of the scholars, he said when the evil eye, in the process itself, then a Satan comes out, a devil comes out. And then this devil will be a help to attack this person who set the eye on. And the third explanation from the scholars, that when the evil eye is in the process itself, then little jewels, it's in Arabic, jawahar khatifa, little jewels, I could say like a laser light. It's a laser light. It's being set from the person who said that, it will really affect the person in front of him, or whoever set the eye on. And then he mentions this hadith, which he mentioned in Sahih Muslim. The Prophet ﷺ said, "Uqtulu al-Abtara," kill the snake which has got no tail, al-Abtara. And dhuf-tuf-yatayn, it's got two lines on top of the shoulders of it, on top of the body of it. It's got two lines on it. I don't know if you've ever seen it, but it exists in Saudi Arabia, exists in the hot countries in India. So you kill those types of snake straight away, and the Sheikh didn't mention that, but straight away without even having the permission. They shouldn't really take the permission of killing them, because you know if you see a snake in your house, you have to have the permission of killing it for three times. You say, get out, bismillah, if it doesn't get out, then you kill it. I don't know if somebody would stand to either, but you have to do that. So, and then those two types of snakes, you don't have the permission, you have the permission to kill them straight away without mentioning Allah's name. Because these types were really possessed, can be possessed by devils, can be possessed by Satan, by Satan. So you kill them straight away because they do have similarity between them and between somebody having an eye, an evil eye, or somebody else. And then he went on to say that the two snakes, when you look into their eyes, then they really take your sight away. You'll be blind straight away when you look into them. And these two types, the hadith says itself, that a pregnant woman will lose her baby straight away when she has the eye into these snake's eyes. So these two eyes are similar to the evil eyes. And that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he has ordered us to kill these two types of snakes. And he said then, he went on to mention the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he asked that person, that companion, he said that maybe a person could really have an evil eye on himself, and he should really always say the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also what he said that maybe somebody who has an evil eye, maybe he didn't have the intention to have an evil eye on somebody else, maybe he didn't know, because of that companion. Amr ibn Rabi'a is a companion, he's a nice person, so he set an evil eye on the other companion, Sahl ibn Hanif, and he didn't mean it, he didn't have the intention of it. He just said, oh, what a nice skin, it looks like a skin of a virgin, she's laying down in her room or something like that, and he didn't say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala name, and that's why he dropped dead or almost dead. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, how do you kill this person? Why somebody can really kill his brother? You should mention Allah's name when you see these good things, and you say, MashaAllah, la quwwata illa billah. So he's saying that sometimes the person who said the evil eye, he doesn't know about himself. And then went on to say the last thing, that he could have an evil eye on himself, on his daughters, on his sons, on his mother, on his wife, and he should read it all the time. Say Allah's name whenever he sees something good in him. He looks at the mirror, he sees a nice face, oh mashallah. He says that, otherwise he loses face.
And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to make ruqya on top of the Hassan and the Hussein radiallahu anhum. He said, "U'idukum hadhihi kalimatullahi tamma, that I speak to you in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that you will never have an evil eye on you." And then he always says, please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep the hotness or the effect, the heat of the effect of an evil eye from those children or little babies. Jazakumullah khairan.
وعلى من ابتلي بالعين أن يستقي الله عز وجل وأن يبرك ويدعو بالبركة على كل نعمة وكل خير وكل ما يعجب به، كما يجب عليه أن يعطي ماء وضوئه وماء غسله لمن أصيب بالعين وإلا كان آثما. وقد قرر العلماء أن العائن إذا علم حبسه السلطان وأجرى عليه رزقه حتى الموت لئلا يتأذى بعينه المسلمون. وبقي قضية وهي الحسد، وهناك جامع بين العائن والحاسد، فكل عائن حاسد وليس كل حاسد عائن، لأن الحاسد حسد اثنان، مذموم ومحمود. المذموم هو الذي قال الله فيه من شر حاسد إلى حسد، وهو الذي ابتلي به اليهود حسدا من عند أنفسهم، وهو الذي ابتلي به أبناء يعقوب مع أخيهم يوسف عليه السلام حينما ألقوه في غيابات الجب. والنوع الثاني من الحسد هو الغبطة، معنى بمعنى الغبطة، وهو من التنافس على الخير، وفي ذلك فليتنافس المتنافسون، ومثل ذلك فليعمل العاملون. وهذا النوع من الحسد الثاني حسد محمود، قال عليه الصلاة والسلام: لا حسد إلا في اثنتين، رجل آتاه الله القرآن فهو يتلوه آناء الليل وأطراف النهار، ورجل آتاه الله مالا فهو ينفقه آناء الليل وأطراف النهار، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. فقد يكون الرجل حاسدا يتمنى زوال النعمة عن الآخرين، ولكن لا يصل هذا إلى حد أن يصبح عائلا يؤذي الناس بعينه. فلذلك كل عائل حاسد وليس كل حاسد عائل. أجارنا الله وإياكم من العين ومن الحسد، لأن النفوس الطيبة الكريمة تتنزه عن الحسد وعن إذاء الآخرين. الله أعلم.
And the Shaykh went on to say that if somebody has been having the disease of always having an evil eye on somebody, then he should always ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to, he should fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala into his brothers, because he might affect them. And he should always mention MashaAllah, say MashaAllah, Tabarakallah. And he's always, he should really give make ablution, wudu, and give the water to the person who he thinks he set an evil eye on, instead of that person asking him, he might punch him in his eye, of course. And the sultan, you know, the khalifa, or the leader, or the one who's in control, is in charge of the Muslim people. Usually in that time, the Prophet ﷺ, it is for his duty to really put that man who always sets an evil eye on other people, his brothers, to put him in prison. So to protect other people from him, he's always had an evil eye on him. And then he went on saying the relationship between having an evil eye and to envy somebody, and hasad, the relationship envy and the relationship between the eye itself, the evil eye. He said each person would have an evil eye, an envy person, but not the other way around. It's not each envy eye is an evil eye. And he went on to explain that when somebody envy another person, this envy could be could fall into two categories, into two types. The first type is the one that is really not good envy. That means, which is really hatred envy. The one that the Jews have upon each other. The one that the sons of Yaqub alayhi salam, with the brothers of Joseph alayhi salam, the brothers of Yusuf alayhi salam, they had on their brother Yusuf. And the second type of the envy is the one which is really the envy when you really wish that you're really happy about it, and you wish that you are the same like the other person. Like, for example, you are really looking at a brother, he's in a good thing, he's had a good car, you wish that you have a good car like him, and you're really happy for that. You don't really wish that that car destroy itself or crashes in the wall or something like that. And then there's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in one of the verses, فَلْيَتَنَافَسِ الْمُتَنَافِسُونَ. And in that, the people or brothers or the Muslims can really make a contest with each other, you know, racing each other in the good causes. And the Prophet ﷺ said as well, there is no envy apart from two things. The first one is the one who is having Quran inside himself, inside his head, Quran. He knows Quran, he reads Quran. So he's reading it in the night and in the day. And the other one is the one who has a lot of money and he's spending it in the causes that really. To keep us away from the evil eye and to keep us away from being envy on each other, inshallah. Jazakumullahu khairan.
بقي في آخر هذه الجلسة المباركة إن شاء الله أن نتكلم حول المس الشيطاني. الصرع أو المس الشيطاني. الصرع ينقسم إلى قسمين: صرع طبي ناتج عن أخلاق رديئة ورطوبات في الدماغ، وصرع شيطاني ناتج عن تسلط للشيطان. وقد يكون هذا الجن المتسلط على الإنس شيطان كافر مارد، وقد يكون مسلم عاصي فاجر. لأن الجن كما قال الله عز وجل عنهم: كنا طرائق قددا. فالجن فيهم من كل مذهب وملة، وهم يتسلطون على بني الإنسان بأسباب كثيرة. قد يكون هناك تسلط بسبب العين، وقد يكون هناك تسلط بسبب السحر، حيث أن السحرة يسخرون بعض الشياطين وبعض الجن ويرسلونهم إلى رجال وإلى نساء وإلى أشخاص يريدون أن يصدقهم عن ذكر الله وعن طاعة الله، أو أن يحول بينهم وبين الإنجاب، أو كما ذكرنا. وقد يكون المس ناتج عن عشق بين الجن والإنس، فالجن قد يعشقون الإنس. الذكور من الجن يعشقون الإناث من الإنسيات. حينما تدخل إلى الحمام وتخلع ثيابها ولا تذكر اسم الله، فيرونها متجردة فيلبسونها. وقد علمت ووقفت على حالة فتاة كانت تدخل إلى الحمام وتدخل معها الستيريو، جهاز الستيريو، فسقطت في الحمام وأصيبت بالجن بالمس. وقد يكون المس ناتج أيضا عن الأذى، عن الأذى، يعني إنسي يؤذي الجن، يلقي حجرا ولا يذكر اسم الله فيقع على جن يؤذيه، فيأتي هذا الجن ويضربه يسبب له عاهة أو يدخل فيه. وقد يبول عليهم الإنس، يبول في جحر، في على سلسلة، في مكان مهجور، يكون هذا المكان مسكون بالجن، فيتلبسونه ويضربونه، يتلبسونه ويضربونه. وقد جاءني رجل بال في الليل على كوم من الحجارة في الليل، فسمع صحيح أفعى. خاف الرجل وشعر بقشعريرة في جسده، فلما عاد إلى بيته في الليل جاءته أفعى ونهشته من رجله، فأصبحت رجله سوداء وقد أرانيها. فلما قرأت عليه تبين أنه ملبوس بالجن، يعني تكلم الجن على لسانه. فإذا الجن من قبل الإنس قد يسبب لهم العدوان الشديد. وذلك أن الجن قوم فيهم سفه وفيهم طيش وفيهم جهل، فقد يعاقبون الطفل الصغير البريء غير المكلف بعقوبة كبيرة تودي بحياته، لأنه وقع عليهم أو رمى حجرا في الليل. ولذلك النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام أمرنا أن نكف صبياننا عند طوعة العشاء، قال كفوا صبيانكم عند طوعة العشاء فإن الله يبث من خلقه ما يشاء. وفي حديث آخر إن للشياطين انتشارا. لذلك ينبغي أن نحبس أولادنا عند الغروب حتى يذهب الشفق الأحمر ويشتد ظلمة الليل في بيوتنا، لئلا تتعرض لهم الجن وتؤذيهم بالمس وغيره وغير ذلك من الأسباب الخفية. هناك أسباب أخرى، هذه الأسباب التي ذكرها العلماء وذكرها الذين مارسوا هذا العلم وهذه التجربة، وهناك أسباب نحن لا نعلمها إنما يعلمها الله عز وجل. فالمس الشيطاني ثابت بالكتاب، أما الكتاب فقوله تعالى الذين يأكلون الربا لا يقومون إلا كما يقوم الذي يتخبطه الشيطان من المس. قال ابن جرير وابن كثير والقرطبي وغيرهم من أهل العلم من المفسرين فسروا ذلك بالمس الشيطاني. وحسبك بهؤلاء الأئمة من أئمة أهل السنة والجماعة، وقد أثبت ذلك علماء الإسلام كشيخ الإسلام تيمية، وكان شيخ الإسلام تيمية راقية، كان يرقي وكان يضرب الجن، وكان يضرب الجن بعصا غليظة على رقبة الإنس فيصيح ويصرخ. وهناك آثار عن السلف، والنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم جاءت عنه أحاديث، وقد ضرب صبيا كان مصابا بالمس على صدره وقال اخرج عدو الله مع عبد الله إلى غير ذلك.
ثم بقي ان نقول الاستماع طيب، خلينا من هنا مره واحده.
اما السنه فان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قد اثبت المس، عالج المس بنفسه صلى الله عليه وسلم، واثبت المس حينما قال إن الشيطان يجري من ابن آدم مجرى الدم في العروق. وحينما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا تثاءب أحدكم فليقضم ما استطاع فإن الشيطان يدخل. الشيطان أين يدخل؟ إنما يدخل من جوفه. وقد جاء في الحديث أن الشيطان يفرح ويسخر ويضحك من المتثائب، وأن التثاؤب من الشيطان. والنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بين بالحديث في أمر المستحاضة أنها ركضة من الشيطان، وبين أيضا صلى الله عليه وسلم في مرض الطاعون أنه وخز أعدائكم من الجن. وبين النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أن الرجل إذا أتى أهله فلم يذكر اسم الله جامع الشيطان معه، وكان للشيطان نصيب في أبنائه. وأن الإنسان إذا المسلم إذا أكل ولم يسمي الله أكل الشيطان معه، وإذا دخل بيته ولم يسمي بات الشيطان من بيته، وهكذا. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إن البيت الذي تقرأ فيه سورة البقرة لا يقربه شيطان. فكل هذه الأحاديث وغيرها من الأحاديث تدل دلالة واضحة أكيدة على أن للمس الشيطاني حقيقة واقعة، وأن له أذى حسيا ملموسا على أجساد المصروعين، وأنه يتخبطهم، وأنه قد يمنعهم من الخير، من الصلاة، من تلاوة القرآن، قد يمنعهم من إتيان أهليهم وإصلاح أبنائهم، يمنعهم من حضور العلم وغير ذلك. لذلك من أنكر المس الشيطاني وقال إنه مجرد وسوسة فقد أخطأ خطأ بينا وخالف ما قرره العلماء الربانيون. هذا وبالله التوفيق. عصمنا الله وإياكم من الشياطين الإنس والجان، وإنه ولي ذلك والقادر عليه، وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وآله وسلم.
So the Shaykh wanted to say regarding now a last statement regarding possession, and he said that the possession is of two types: that which is a medical possession, and that which shaitan is a possession by shaitan. And to explain, he explained the second one, possession of shaitan. He said this could be a jinn that overpowers mankind. The jinn could be a kafir, or it could be even a Muslim jinn, but a fatiq and a bad sinner. And he quotes an ayat in the Quran.
The Quran says as well that the jinn were really lots of tribes and lots of sects and lots of having lots of faith.
So therefore the jinn have many madhabs, many schools of thought and religions, and that they, the possession happens for many reasons, and they come, there are many reasons for why they possess. Of them are evil eye, and then there's sorcery, magic, and also the magician himself, the sorcerer himself, who sends them, the jinn, to particular people to possess them, and in order to keep them away from the dhikr of Allah tabaraka ta'ala, to keep them away from prayer and all righteous and good deeds. And he said that there is something also regarding between a jinn and mankind.
The Shaykh says that the reasons that the jinnies may possess a human being, there are so many reasons. He mentioned five reasons. One of the first reasons, because of the, like the brother said, because of the evil eye. The second one, because of the magician, magic. And the third reason, because of the love. And because ishq is the big love, the strong love you have between the genie and the human being. And he says that lots of male genies go after the women from the inn. Say for example, the woman, she takes off her clothes and she doesn't say bismillah. So she is really then vulnerable, that the genie could look at her aura and could really feel really excited as a human being. And then he said that a lady, a girl, came to him, or a story about a girl, used to go to the toilet and she used to take music with her, a stereo, and listen to music inside, and while she was doing that she dropped down and she was possessed by the genie. And the fourth reason is like, it is, you know, the genie is just harming you with no reason, have no reason, just came and possessed you. And this could happen, for example, that somebody threw a stone. I didn't mention Allah's name, didn't say bismillah, this stone hit a genie, and then this genie wanted to get revenge from you, he just possessed you. And somebody throwing a hot water on something, he didn't say bismillah, this water burned the genie, the genie just, or his brother, or maybe his family, possessed you. And it could be somebody really urinating in a little hole, and he didn't say bismillah, these little holes, I mean, maybe in the desert or something, they are really a place where the genie lives. Then he went on and said that a man came to him. I didn't catch up with the story.
Well, a man came to him who urinated at night, and when he was urinating at night, he heard some noise. I'm just giving the meaning of what the Shaykh said. He heard some noise. A noise of a snake, and then he got bitten on his leg by the snake, and he went blue or black.
إنه واحد بال على سلسلة.
أيوة.
سمع صحيح أفعى.
أيوة.
خاف. شعر جلده.
أيوة.
واضطرب. أيوة. راح نام. جاءت الأفعى بالليل ونهشته من ساقه.
أيوة.
فجاءني أراني بقعة سوداء في رجلي. نعم. لما قرأت عليه وجدته مركوب. راس جلد.
What actually happened was he heard some noise, he got scared and he ran. Must have went on his clothes. When he ran and he went back home, he went to sleep, that's when something came to him and bit him basically. And when it bit him, he came to the sheikh and showed him what it was. And that's when it was black, and then the sheikh said he read over him, And after he read over him, a jinn actually came out of this and spoke upon his tongue and spoke. And so he went on then to say after that the jinn are really are almost ignorant. There are many ignorant creations. They punish any ignorant people. They just do anything to anybody. Even a baby who they know nothing of, that knows nothing itself, they may even come and harm a small little baby. And that's why Prophet said, stop your children after Isha, to prevent them from going out, so the jinn can't possess them or can't.
Until the darkness goes so deep that it's okay.
Yeah, that's until the ghurub al-shams, when the shams begins to make it to ghurub. When the darkness goes, then it's clear. So that the jinn cannot possess them or harm them. And there are many other reasons as to why jinn, they possess mankind. And many of them scholars have mentioned in various books in the past. And there are some reasons which only Allah Ta'ala knows why they possess as well. And one of the reasons of possession is also due to sins. And possession, he said, is something which is established in the Quran by the ayah of the Quran where Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala said in the meaning, and those who deal in riba, they will not stand up on the day of judgment except like one who is possessed. And then he said that in the Jirid, in the Kafir, and put him in other people, Mufassirin, that he gave an explanation of this ayah to say that one who is possessed by the possession of shaitan. So this is clearly something established in the Quran. And the ulama have established this and affirmed this. And Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, he was of those who used to beat the jinn with a stick. And the Prophet also, he beat a boy who was possessed and said, "Ukhruj, get out, get out." And that's from the sunnah which is established. He mentioned about 8 or maybe 9 ahadith, which I didn't get all of them. But the ones that I got was the Prophet, he cured possession himself. And then he quoted the hadith of the Prophet where he said, Satan runs through the body of Adam like the running of blood.
So the first hadith, as he said it, you remember when he was outside the mosque and he was talking to his wife, and the two companions came and they saw him with the wife, and they were really running, and he stopped them because he thought that these two companions thought something really bad about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, "Stop! This woman I'm talking to, she's my wife. This is to clarify and to make the shaitan away from them." He said that I'm saying this because the shaitan runs in the blood the shaitan is running into the veins, like the blood is running into the veins. And then he went on to say the second hadith, that somebody really yawning, then he should really put his left hand, another hadith, on his mouth, so the shaitan will enter. The hadith says will enter where? He's going to enter, of course, from your mouth. And this shows you there is possession. And then he said, went on to say, that the shaitan, when you yawn, he will laugh. He will really, he just makes a mockery of you. And he likes you yawning all the time. And as well in the Mustahaba, I don't know what it's called. Mustahaba is the one that you, outside the period, the woman, if she's not in the period, but she's having blood. And that, the Prophet said, it is like from shaitan. It is like a vein, it exploded and the blood came out. And then he went on to say the ta'un. A ta'un is this disease exists in the third world country maybe at the moment. Maybe in India it was maybe that long a time ago.
Play.
This ta'un is like something like a... It's like somebody who's sticking with a needle from the shaitan. It's like he's like poking you with a needle. Poking you with like a genie poking you. And then he said as well, he went on to say that the shaitan as well, when you really make an intercourse with your wife, if you don't mention Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala name, then he will really go into your wife, and you will be really participating with the children that you are really having, subhanallah. And as well, he said that the house that the Baqarah is not being read in, the house that the Surah Al-Baqarah is not being read inside it, then the shaitan will come over it. So the Baqarah, using the Baqarah in the house, inshallah will kick out all the devils. So after 3 days, Surah Al-Baqarah, after 3 days, is it right? That when you read the Baqarah, you'll have the devils and you'll have the genies away for 3 days. And then he said, went on to say there are proofs that the shaitan is a reality, and he has a harms in reality. And then something came up to the Sheikh's man at the moment that when a person is really sinful, when his house is full of pictures, full of photographs, and the photographs really kicks out the angels cannot come inside the house. And as well, when you are really, don't be a dhikr all the time, you are really liable or vulnerable for having the genie in possessing you. Lots of things, mashallah. And the shaitan and the genie really stop them from praying sometimes. Even they can't read Quran when they are possessed by genie, by the jinn. And they can't really come to the circles of knowledge. And so whoever says that a person or human being cannot be possessed by a genie, then really he is going opposing the ulama, the scholars, and opposing what the salaf has been saying, and opposing what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in the Quran and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his sunnah.
And then before you said, just there's two things that also when you eat, you have to mention Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's name over your food, otherwise Satan will eat with you. And when you enter your house, you have to mention Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's name as you enter the house, otherwise Satan will enter the house with you. قولوا قولي هذا أستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين جزاكم الله خير إخوان ونحن على رسول الله صلى الله
عليه وسلم 10 minutes for questions إن شاء الله خلاص Now a questioner here is questioning a good question, mashallah, because it really stops people from killing magicians at this moment in this country. He says, who kills the magician? Is it the state itself? Is it the Khalifa, or is it the normal people? يعني من يقتل الساحر شيخنا اللي هو السلطان أم للناس طبعا يعني يقتل أي واحد في الساحر
يظل السلطان الذي يحكم بشرع الله فممكن للأفراد أن يقتلوا الساحر لأن يظل السلطان إذا أذن لهم السلطان المسلم إذا أذن للناس فيجوز هذا وإلا فالسلطان هذه وظيفة السلطان عمر رضي الله عنه أرسل إلى عماله في الأمطار أن يقتلوا كل ساحر وساحرة أم سلمة ثبت عنها أنها أمرت بقتل جارية سحرته
بس ما فيش سلطان
ما فيش سلطان ما لنا عليهم سلطان إلا ندعو عليهم بالهلاك
I'll just read the end part of his answer before I read the first. That is that if there's no sultan, nobody of authority, then you can't kill the sorcerer. Then he went at the beginning of his question, said that if the sultan, if the person in authority allows the people or individuals to do so, then they can go and they can kill these magicians and these sorcerers, as Umar ibn al-Khattab said for the sorcerers to be killed, and also Umm Salama for the slave girl she had to be killed who done sahr on her.
If there is no sultan, then you could really boycott this magician, warn the people against the magician. And then he went on the question to say, and how do you know? Do you know how would you know he's a magician or not? كيف تعرف مساعر ولا لا؟
من كل دينه وسواء وظلمة وجهه يظهر ومعاطاة للسحر وأيضا اسم الأم وعدم حضوره للجمعة والجماعات و. ومن من 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 أبنائه وبيته يعرف هذا ويشتهر هذا ممكن تسأل أي واحد يذهب ماذا أوصاك ماذا قال لك فيعرف هذا في الغالب السحرة ما عندهم التزام بشرع الله يحرقون لحاهم لا يصلون الجمعة والجماعات لا يتوضؤون فهذا يعرف به السحر لا يقرؤون القرآن ولا يحسنون قراءة القرآن.
It's important these signs to know that one is a magician is the knowledge that they possess, also the darkness of their faces, and the fact that they ask the name of the mother at all times. They ask the name of the mother. Also, you'll know by his house or the person's house, or you can ask the people who come up in the house, you know, what did he advise you with, what did she advise you with, etc. and you find these individuals, they are ones who don't adhere to the legislations of the Quran. They don't pray, they don't make wudu, they don't fast, they don't read Quran or anything of the like. Next question. The Sheikh mentioned about photos in the house. Is it permissible to have photos in the house if they are covered? Does this still prevent angels entering the house?
شيخنا يقول بالنسبة للصور ذكر الشيخ بالنسبة للصور أنها لا تدخل الملائكة. هل لو كانت الصور الآن يعني مغطاة أو مخبأة يعني هل هذا يمنع كذلك الملائكة من دخول البيوت؟
صبر.
الذي ثبت عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم
في
حديث المعروف في الصحيحين أن جبريل عليه السلام وعد رسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم أن يزوره فلم يزوره فاستطاعه النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فلما سأله قال إن تحت السرير كلب فأمر بعخرج ثم ذكر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إن الملائكة لا تدخل بيتا فيه كلب أو صور فالكلب لم يكن ظاهر ويؤخذ من هذا الحديث أن التماثيل والصور لو لم تكن ظاهرة فلا تدخلها الملائكة فيجب أن نطهر بيوتنا يا أخواني من التماثيل والصور ومن الكلاب ومن غيرها ولذلك فبيوت الكفار مليئة بالكلاب مليئة بالصور إذا مليئة إيه بالشياطين والذي أنبه عليه هذا ما يسمى البوم هذا لا يجوز اقتناءه أبدا لا يجوز أن فيه صور وهي صور مخبأة لا يجوز اقتناءه فهي لا تدخل الملائكة.
And the Sheikh, in answer to the question, he said that there's a hadith in the Sahihain in Sahih Muslim and Sahih Bukhari where Jibreel alayhi salam promised that he would visit the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at a particular time and he didn't come and then he informed the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that there was a dog underneath.
He came late
and then when he came there he informed the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that there was a dog under the bed hidden and so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went and remove the dog and then Jibreel alayhi salam said that where there's dogs or pictures the angels and malaika do not come and so we use from this ahadith, the evidence that if there's pictures hidden or dogs hidden and dogs apparent and pictures apparent then it's not the malaika they will not come there and then the Shaykh Ramadan said that it's imperative that we must try to purify our houses from dogs and pictures and all the likes of this and he said if you look at the houses of the Kuffar you find them full of pictures and full of dogs, therefore they're full of shayateen. And there's also it's not permissible, Ikhwani said this intensively, not to see pictures even in albums. And he asked me on the television, is this also included?
لا يجوز اقتناؤه في البيوت وسيلة الساد ووسيلة إشاعة الفاحشة بين الناس لا يجوز وخاصة في الإسلام خاصة في الإسلام لا يجوز اقتناؤه لعظم مفسدته ولعظم مضرته.
He said that this television is a means of fasad, a means of corruption and basically it's not permissible to have these in your houses, especially being in this country, and then he said that because of its great harm and little benefit. Well, and the question which came was, can you play audio tapes of reciters reciting Surah Al-Baqarah with this? Will this repel the shaitan or shayateen from the house for 3 days?
Yes, sir, Sheikhna. يعني بالنسبة لقراءة القرآن وضح في المسجلات والأشرفة. قراءة البقرة لمدة 3 أيام هل هذا كافي أن يطرد الشيطان؟
هذا بديل غير كافي إلا في حالة أن يكون هذا الإنسان أعجميا أميا وإلا ينبغي هو أن يقرأ أو يجب يأتي بمن يقرأ في بيته.
He said in answer to this question that this can only be done if the individual is a non-Arab, he can't read Quran and he can't bring somebody to actually read for him and then he can actually use this methodology of playing an audio tape in Charter Ali. And then the next question, some people use ta'weez, amulets to remove magic or jinn and also do other strange things using various objects, i.e. fruits burning things,
is this all from the Sunnah?
بعض الناس كثير من الناس يعمل تعاويذ عن تمائم شيخنا وكذلك يعمل أشياء كثيرة يعني إزالة الجن وإزالة السحر من أشياء الغريبة التي يفعلونها مثلا حرق بعض الأشياء كحرق مثلا الفواكه أو
استعمال
الفواكه وحرق بعض الأشياء هل هذا من السنة؟
هذه الأشياء المسؤولة عنها السؤال هذه من الشرك بقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم التمائم شرك تمائم تميمة تعويذة التي تضع في الرقبة أو تضع على اليد أو تضع في القدم أو بعض البيوت تضع حذاء فرس أو خردة زرقاء على قطن وغير ذلك كل هذه تعاويذ تمائم كلها من الشرك والإسلام منها بريء
وأيضا ليست هذه أسباب دافعة للشر لأنها غير مشروعة وبل هي جالبة لأن الله عز وجل يتخلى عن من يفعل ذلك ويدع للشيطان الأسباب الدافعة هي الأذكار الرقى القرآن غير ذلك لا يجوز.
So you said the Sheikh said that this, all these things mentioned in this paper are from actions of shirk or shirk all these amulets and it's placed upon the hadith of the Prophet somewhere he said amulets are shirk ta'weez are shirk and so he mentioned that all these things that people tie on their hands and their feet around their neck that are hanging in their houses or putting babies and children all of this is from shirk and none of it actually protects from evil rather it is the cause of evil so what is what you use to actually to help yourself is really reading Quran making zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the next question assalamu alaikum shaykh if a sister killed another sister in Islam believing she was possessed by a jinn, is that correct? What is the criterion for a person to be able to get rid of a jinn?
شيخنا إذا أخت قتلت أخت لأنها متلبسة بالجن فهل هذا صحيح؟ متلبسة بالجن فهل هذا صحيح؟ وما هي الطريقة الصحيحة التي يستطيع بها الإنسان يتخلص من هذا الجن؟ نحن طبعا قلنا ذكرنا
قتلت واحدة ملبوسة قتلت أخرى
لا العادية قتلت الملبوسة
يعني